Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Vox Vomitus. I'm your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of the award-winning novels Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, Pretty Ugly, as well as the recently released Japanese Box. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, Allison Martine, author of The Bourbon Books, which includes Dibs Since September, Move on Melinda, and Climb the Salmon Ladder. Joining us today from, you're in Canada, right, Nisha? Mm-hmm. From Canada, Nisha Tooley, author of a million books, but today we're going to be talking about Heart of Night and Fire. We're also going to be talking about the fact that, Nisha, you recently won all of publishing.
Mm-hmm. You won all.
You're now living the actual dream, so we're going to have to cover that as well. So, Nisha, welcome to Vox Vomitus. Tell our viewers and our listeners a little bit about you. And a little bit about Heart of Night and Fire.
A little bit about me. Oh, man.
Or a lot about you.
When I was two, I hit my head on a swing.
Probably.
I got dropped as a baby. Does
that count? That counts.
I think we all got dropped as babies.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I know I dropped my kids a few times.
You heard it here first.
I know. We didn't know we were going to get a confession of.
I remember when my son was like 11 months and we were like visiting my parents and he like was crawling and they rolled down half the stairs. We were like carpeted softs. And I was like freaking out.
Also,
he was fine. But
that's on him. Like he went there.
Yeah. He was 11 months old. He should have known better by then.
By 9 months old, you should, like, understand, you should stairs. Understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But luckily, they're only half. So, like, it just, he was fine. But I remember,
fine,
I was like,
everyone.
Oh my God.
My baby.
But yeah, so I'm sure we've all been dropped a few times.
We're rolled. Nisha, you never know.
I live in Canada. As you mentioned, I am a romance author, have been for the last few years. I come from I was an engineer in my first life. I
smarty pants.
I got out of there.
note to self, if we have math questions, we're gonna call Nisha.
Now we have two people we can call. We could call for Nisha math. And Paul Tremblay and be like, can you please?
Paul's a math teacher.
Oh yeah, you should call him.
People who can use both parts of their brain there, that shocks me, because we expect, like, okay, you math, you can't work.
So it's a joke, because then I ended up in going, like, to journalism school afterwards, and it was the joke that nobody could do math, and I'd be like, well, mm-hmm. I do math.
Yeah, no, that's how we were in law school. I'm like, went to law school because there's no math.
Yeah.
I went to school for theater because I couldn't even do law school.
There you go.
Tears of how bad at school I am. I took clowning. So that is valid.
So Nisha, you noped out of the engineering and then you noped into journalism. And then
So I kind of noped into journalism and PR and marketing. I did for a number of years. And so, like, I was always doing like nonfiction style writing, like blog posts and social media and all that kind of stuff, which has been super helpful on my author journey.
But pretty sure that's how you won publishing, because last I checked, most of us are going, we thought we were supposed to be writing books and learning how TikTok works.
I don't mind that stuff. Like, I've never minded that stuff. So, like, that was definitely a big asset when I decided to self-publish, especially because, you know, it's all your fate is in your hands way more than it is with traditional publishing.
Whoops, I dropped that too.
Yeah.
I know, like, oh, I realize I don't know how to self-publish. Yay!
I have two kids. They're 11 and 8 now. And if they fall down the stairs, it really is on them at this point.
I hear you, because I've got almost 13, 10 and almost 8. So we don't have stairs, and there's a reason for that. So,
So are your kids a little mortified the fact that you write romance and are on TikTok and you're like TikTok famous?
No, they're actually really super proud of me, especially my daughter. She's just like, she keeps asking, like, can I read the books? And I'm like, not yet. You're a little young.
Not yet.
I'm like,
is your daughter the 11 or the 8 year old?
My daughter's the older one. So okay, she so just.
A couple more years.
I know. I'm like, there's kissing in them. And she's kind of like, still in that, you know, kissing is gross. But I'm like, I don't know how much longer you're going to feel like that.
Yeah. Pretty soon she's going to be like, please. I want to only read about kissing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're super proud of me. Like, even if they don't really kind of get all of it, but they're just like really excited about it. And my son knows every title and every, like, it's.
Hey, he's really cute. He's a super fan.
Pretty cute. Yeah.
I don't think my husband knows all the titles of my books.
Last year, his teacher said to him, "Oh, I read your mom's book on the weekend," and he came home and told me that. And I'm like, "What do you mean your teacher read my book? Like, how does she even know I have a book?" Like, what?
I love that.
Oh God.
I know you're. See, like, I would always just have to immediately go, wait, which book?
Like, I didn't even want to know. I was just like,
At that point, you just say, thank you. Thanks, and put on the biggest smile you can and go, please don't call me in for a
call. I was joking. I was like, I don't care if I want a million strangers to read it, but the people I know, like, just, you can be supportive without worrying too much about
exactly.
Me.
It's like, I do not want my mother to even accidentally open one of my books.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really write steamy anything, but I do swear a lot and write about a lot of weird things that she just doesn't need to know about.
No, you don't. Yeah, because you don't really. Yeah. And my mom has definitely read some. And she has texted me about it. Oh, you're such a good writer. And I'm like, oh, mom, just like, put the book away and
just keep it on the shelf. It's nice.
The worst is my mother-in-law, actually, who keeps like telling me she needs to read one of my books. I'm like, don't. I'm like, you really don't. Like, she's like, well, my friend said she couldn't believe I hadn't read any of your books. I'm like, it's okay. I know that you don't read books like this. It's fine. Like,
this is why moments like this is when I love the fact that my husband's family is Russian and they don't speak a lot of English.
Yes, I don't think your mother-in-law speaks enough English to read your
they
book.
They buy them and I love that.
That's I'm
and
like, you can buy them. You can be happy for me. Yeah. You can be like really supportive and like that. That's all I need. I do not need you to read them.
Buy them for your friends.
Yeah.
Keep them away. Don't keep them in your house.
Yeah. We're just like, even my sister-in-law, she's like, oh, I was out with some friends and I was telling them about your books and they were like already downloading them. Okay. That's fine. Like they're into it. They like reading that kind of stuff. Like that's different. Like, go ahead.
Cool. I like that. Okay, so if they were to read Heart of Night and Fire, which is the one that Jennifer and I read, which is the first in a quartet, what is the thing they'd be most embarrassed about? Don't answer that, because I was going to say, I'm like,
oh, I want to know.
That's way too many spoilers. We'll ask that one off. But
I mean, that one's pretty tame. Like, that book's pretty tame.
It seemed tame. I was like expecting.
My books tend to start out low and then get a lot steamier
as
they go.
And that's the first book in a four series.
Yeah, right. I just finished the development edit on the second book, and there's a lot more smut in that one.
Nice. Well, I did love that bar they went to, the Fairy Club.
I know I'm not cool enough to get in, but I'd like to go anyway.
I would like to go. I was just like, yes.
I know, I'd like to go there too.
No, and we were talking before we went live, because I am the kind of author and reader that loves all senses brought in, including, and Nisha did not know that I like to have food. so I was sad that I didn't have any like easy to eat samosa. So I just have a whole chunk of naan here to eat during the show. But your book was making me hungry within just a few pages, which I appreciate so much. And I really kind of hope that there's maybe like a meal kit that can come with your book.
Oh my gosh, like in a book box. Like
that would be fun.
Like a cool cocktail recipe from like the fairy
butter chicken,
the fairy bar,
a box of butter chicken.
Or maybe something vegetarian.
Some paneer instead. Yeah,
I know. Well, and Jen, you eat cheese, so paneer is okay. And
I have some upstairs.
I'm gonna shout out to my sister who made her own paneer. I'm like, how did you do that? Because
Easy.
That's what she told me,
and I'm super easy.
She's like, it's basically pressed ricotta. I'm like, okay, yeah. I could possibly pull
no,
that.
No, it's
off.
Really easy. It sounds way more intimidating than it is.
Just making any cheese. We have siblings.
No, this is the cheese to make. If you're going to make cheese, make paneer. It's not hard at all.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm like challenge accepted.
Yeah,
a whole roll of like a big chunk of cheddar. It's not that hard.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
He's making. I can't do that.
So Allison and I always joke about the food in our book, in the books that we read. As a vegetarian, sometimes I'm like, oh God, why did it have to be this? Why did it have to be that?
You did not do well when they were eating bats.
I didn't do well when they were eating bats.
That was
in a book.
Different book.
Like meat too, but I don't think I'd do that well with eating bats either.
But this book did make me really hungry and And I did my grocery order while while reading this.
What was on your order?
Oh, there's so much Indian food, more than normal.
More than normal. You're like, there's just like a gallon of chai.
More than normal. Because there's usually quite a bit. And then this time my husband was like, oh.
What happened? So
this is what we're doing this week. Like,
well, chapter five had this, and I wanted to get this stuff from the ferry bar. But there were drinks in the ferry bar that we aren't legally, I'm sure we can't get, because something had, well, there was one reference to something with absinthe in it, and pretty sure that's illegal.
I have absinthe in my house right now.
Jennifer, you're not supposed to admit that on
contraband.
It's legal.
Contraband.
It's legal. I bought it at the liquor store.
It's fine. It's totally fine. And as far as sensorily, you also describe these outfits and these places, and I want to go there and I want to wear those things and be styled. Like, there are times when we start with a character, Daria, who lives in this swamp cottage. So she gets called the lovely name Swamp Girl, which I love. And then when she finally does get to emerge from the cocoonish living space, she gets to experience this whole world for the first time along with us. And I also would like to experience that. Like, she wakes up in this gorgeous place and everybody's bringing her clothing. And of course, everything fits. Nothing would fit me. So,
no. But that's part of the fantasy, right?
Everything is a fantasy. Yeah. I know that, like, she gets into town and immediately the queen is like, sure, she can stay in the palace.
I do love that. I love that so much. And I do love how you take some of the tropes and put them on their head. Like, hey, she saves the two guys, or starts to.
Sort of.
Like, oh,
she attempts to.
She's like, I got my sword and I've been using it for years. Cause you know what else I have to do? Nothing but read romance novels. So, you know, she and I relate in that way.
She reads romance novels. She fights demons. That's just,
You got to do something good to kill the time.
I know, being a swamp girl.
Yeah.
Okay, but Regina she's calling us out on our absinthe knowledge. Isn't the absinthe you can get lacking or extra low on the wormwood? I think there's
it's
something
low on the wormwood, but the kind that I buy very legally in the store does have wormwood in it.
Okay, well, like, the one in the book was the bad kind, because
they were describing what happened afterwards in terms of like, whoa,
they were a little hungover the next day.
Yeah. Well, the very first time I ever drank absinthe, I was at an art retreat, and the person who was running it had absinthe that she had smuggled into the country from I don't know where. Yeah. And that I will admit that I do not remember most of that night.
I think she smuggled it in from Nisha's books. Because
we just had like a very little bit, and then like the next morning, I'm like, I don't remember anything.
It's supposed to make you creative, not knock you out. Okay.
Yeah.
And Regina says, three cheers for the bad kind. Yeah. Yay. I agree. But okay, so Nisha, this is their first in a 4-book series, and you're doing developmental edits on the second book, but I want to talk more about this book, but I feel like some people are going, wait, that isn't the cover I saw, because I did tell some people, hey, I'm really excited to talk to Nisha, and this is the book I read. And they're like, didn't she just have 2 books come out? And I said, I need a chart to keep track of everything Nisha has coming out, because you have different series coming out, and then there's like a romance coming out. Do you have a whiteboard behind you where you
and didn't you had like 2 books come out in August?
I do have this.
Oh boy.
Oh good.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about A, the chart. B,
the chart.
How it came about that you now need a chart?
Because you
won publishing.
You know how publishing is like wait. Yeah. So like I wrote Heart and Iron Fire is the first book I wrote back in the summer of 2020 when like it was COVID and my kids didn't have activities and my husband wasn't traveling and I was working at home and I was like, I got more time than I've had in years. And you keep talking to yourself about this book thing. And I'm like, you're not getting any younger. Like, just do it. Like, what other, you've been handed an opportunity here to do it. So I wrote that book. It was super fun. I loved it. I didn't really know about self-publishing at the time. I didn't really know that was really a thing. I had never explored that before.
Yeah.
Who
did?
I didn't really know that, you know, I got my books from the bookstore, like, and I queried for an agent and I signed with one fairly quickly, which was really exciting. And then that book went on sub like early 2021 and it sat on sub and it sat on sub. And I kept writing books because I was like, everyone's like, keep writing the next book. So I was like, okay, I'll write
the
next book.
It's so much easier said than done when you're just like, how can I write a new book when I constantly have to be refreshing my emails to see if anything happening with that book that's just like out in the wilderness.
And then just to clarify, was the book that you signed with your agent for Heart of Night and Fire, or was a different book?
No, it was with Heart of Night and Fire. So that book went on sub, and it was at that time it was still, it was actually YA. It was way more YA than it is now. And then I started writing books, and I don't know, I got like possessed of a thing. Like I was just like, I'm going to make this happen. Like, I'm just going to keep writing. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to make whatever I can do. Like, I don't know.
The muse had me.
And I was like, I'm just going to, so I kept writing and nothing was happening with my book on sub. I wrote a rom-com that also went on sub in 2022. And nothing was happening with that either. And I'm like, enough with this. Like, I'm going to self-publish something. enough with this waiting. I have all these books and I was sitting on, and I was writing like fantasy romance that I knew TradPub wouldn't be interested in. Like the fey romance, they weren't buying books like that. And I was like, they're not going to be interested in this anyways. Like,
but I know people who are.
Right. But but it was like blowing up on indie. And I'm like, okay, well, I think I can do this. And like, I went a deep dive. I researched everything from top to bottom on self-publishing that I could get my hands on. As I mentioned, like I had a bit of a marketing background, so like that really helped me. And I did a novella first, just because I don't know. I had written this novella. It didn't take me very long. And I'm like, well, I was going to create it as a lead magnet for my newsletter. And I posted a video on TikTok. And it blew up. It like ended up with like 500,000 views. And I was like, what the hell? Like, it was crazy. So I ended up throwing it up on Amazon because like
people want it.
Because why not? Yeah. And you know, it ended up selling, I think to this day, it sold like over 10,000 copies, plus the tens of thousands of people who signed up for my newsletter that same week that all happened. So it was crazy.
That's amazing.
It was crazy. And like,
Is that related to either one of those?
No, it's just a it's its own little book. It's just its own little thing, which it was not the way you're supposed to do. I know you're supposed to do a prequel, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Whatever. Well, I was just like,
you're using a term that not everybody's going to know when they say lead magnet. And it's basically this idea of a shorter project, shorter thing that you can give away. And then people will join your newsletter and then buy your other books. So I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I know that people talk about me doing it for my romances. I'm like, I wouldn't know what to do because my first book, if I did anything before that, it wouldn't have the right people and it doesn't
work. Basically it sort of introduces you to my style of writing and right, like it kind of, so, and that worked then. So then I ended up publishing a longer, like a full length Beauty and the Beast, Sleeping Beauty retelling summer of last year.
2022.
Yeah, we're in 2023 still, right?
I literally was just about to say, what year is it right now? Sometimes I'm like, is last year still 2020? I don't know anymore.
2020 is still going for a while.
It could be. And then, like that one was going to be a duology, but right now it's on the back burner because then I ended up publishing Trial of the Sun Queen in November of last year. And that one hit its mark. It did well from the very beginning. And then it was chugging along, doing really well. And then in the meantime, an editor had reached out to me because he had read one of my other books and he was like, we're starting this new imprint, fantasy imprint, and we'd like a few authors to sign with the announcement. He's like, are you interested? Are you working on anything? So I sent him Heart of Night and Fire. And I was like, well, I've had this book on sub for 18 freaking months. Like, what do you think of this?
Please say yes.
So then he was like, yeah, we love it. We'd like to...
Is that Second Sky? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's Second Sky.
I was looking at your thing and seeing what was published where, because it's kind of all over the place. I'm like, I know Second Sky, but so it's a fantasy publisher.
Yeah, so it's Bookature is the main publisher. Okay. And then Second Sky was the fantasy imprint that they started last year. Nice. They're mostly digital publisher, but they have really good, like they had great numbers. I felt really confident. Like they published The Housemaid.
Yes.
She's with Bookature, right? Like, and is massive, right? So, even though they're digital,
as authors, I think, stop going, well, I know it's just digital, I know it's just a small press. I'm just self-published. No.
I mean, I was happy with it.
You should be.
because when it rains, it pours. And then I got an offer on my rom-com like 3 weeks later. And I was like, oh my God. So, and then ended up getting a second offer and then a preempt from Forever, who was the publisher that ended up buying it.
And that's the rom-com.
And that's for a 3-book deal with the rom-com. So that was like...
That's NSFW?
Yeah, not suitable for work is the first one.
Okay, because that's really funny because we just booked a guest for our show and the title is the same, but it is like a techno horror. Really? So when people see us promoting that, Nish is not coming back just yet.
It'll be a different vibe.
It's a different kind of not suitable for work.
Exactly. There's plenty of not suitable for work things.
People who aren't aware of the fact that titles aren't copywritten, so lots of books can have the same or similar titles.
I mean, no, there was no book with that title. That's kind of a bummer there is now, but that's
like, well, people are not going to get confused. They'll see
The publisher
that is
might
not
still,
a romance.
Yeah. And the publisher might still change it. We have done nothing on that one yet. So
that
who knows,
happen.
Right? So then those three books sold and I was like, okay, this is great. And then we were like plugging along and then we went into early 2023 and those contracts were signed and announced and everyone was happy. And then someone posted, and then the second book was about to come out for Trial of the Sun Queen. And someone posted on TikTok about how she liked it better than ACOTAR. It was replacing her ACOTAR recommendation, which if anyone reads fantasy romance, you know that.
Take that, ACOTAR.
The gold standard, right? I mean, I'm a huge Sarah J. Maas fan. And that video blew up and that was just like the thing, it exploded. Like I was number 50 in the Amazon store. I was like, it was crazy. It was
incredible.
Crazy.
You call like, Sarah J. Maas and tell her, by the way, you've been put off your fantasy throne because make way for
Anisha Tickle. So then that it just sort of just like going. And like, this was like, now I was, you know, the point Trad Publishing was starting to pick up successful indies. And had been doing so for a little while. And like, this was always sort of in the back of my head. And I was like, I don't know, why not, right? So I was still with my first agent and we had a chat about it. And like, we kind of agreed that she didn't have the connections in adult fantasy that I wanted to make this happen. And so with her blessing, she was like, no, go, I get it. Like, go forth and query. So I did. I went to go query again. This time it took 2.5 days, which was super awesome.
Hey.
The fact that you got that
alone is just like,
2.5 days.
What?
And like, my query was just like, hey, I'm Nisha. I wrote these books. This is how many I've sold. Well, at the same time, I was starting to get requests from foreign publishers. Like, I had an offer from a French publisher. I had a few other countries that were interested. And I was like, I don't want to sign any of these without an agent.
You need professional help at that point,
right? And then a UK publisher came to me and they were like, we'd like to do an world offer. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, everyone just pause. I need 2 weeks to find a new agent. I need a couple weeks to find a new agent. Yeah. So everyone was totally fine. They're like, that's fine. Go and find yourself a new agent. And then I ended up getting several offers, which was really great to have the choice. And my agent, Lauren, was just, I don't know, the perfect combo of everything. She got what I wanted. She understood where I was going. She saw my vision. She was super enthusiastic. Also,
she wasn't scared of you being a successful indie.
No, she was.
Because I know there's still a lot of people out there. I know it's changing, which is amazing for all of us indies. But there are still some people who are like, oh,
you've been indie.
Yeah.
Oh, you're self-published.
Yeah. No, she understood. And I would say, like, I mean, obviously the agents who were all interested understood, like, what everyone could start seeing the writing on the wall, because like a lot of this was being in the right place at the right time, right? Like, it just, this is suddenly was the moment. And I was fortunate compared to a lot of my indie counterparts in that I had been in the query world. I did sort of understand the trad side. Like, I know for a lot of indies, all of that can be kind of terrifying. They don't want to go anywhere near it for like lots of good reasons, but
because it can be crushing and demoralizing.
Yeah, exactly. And like lots of, but like,
and it's slow.
I already felt comfortable with that, so I like,
because you started there and then you
started there,
like,
I went the other way and then I've gone back and you know, and I envision myself continuing to do this throughout.
It's a dance.
Yeah, and go. So then, Lauren hit the ground running. I kept saying to people, I'm like, I need someone who can keep up with me, and I could barely keep up with her. So we just, so we just like, and
so
then,
hence the chart.
Hence the chart.
It's like, That's all you have to send to an agent. Can you manage this?
Yeah. Can you? Well, in that, well, like a couple people were like, this is amazing, but I can't take this. Basically, like that was kind of what a few people were like. Like, I'm like, okay, fair
enough.
Honestly, like,
you can't blame them. And especially,
no, that's fine. And I don't want you to try if you really
and
don't.
You don't want like, somebody who's going to drop the ball on
who's
you.
Gonna, yeah, exactly.
That's a lot to drop.
When in like less than a year, you've had off like many multiple book deals. I mean, yeah, you need somebody yeah. who's still drinking coffee, who's mm-hmm. like,
yeah, who's still, well, and so then the other book deals were also kind of a, not a problem, but because all of them have an option clause, all of them have a competition clause. I had sold my audio, which was, became an issue.
Heart of Night and Fire?
For Trial of the Sun Queen.
Oh, okay.
Right. And like publishers are getting like picky, like they don't like audio is as big as ebooks these days, right? Like yeah. a couple mm-hmm. of them were like, no, we can't buy it without the audio, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So like there was a ton of like pieces to move. In the end, forever, the same editor who bought the rom-coms, my agent was like, well, we'll submit it to her. I'm like, but they don't do fantasy. And she was like, well, it's just a courtesy thing. She's your editor. We're going to send it to her. Yeah. And she's like, turns out they wanted to do fantasy. And they're like, and we're going to do it with your book. So
that's great. And it's so amazing to develop these like really strong relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. So like she was already a fan of my writing. And I think like they saw this as an opportunity. And now because Bookature and Forever are all under Hachette. They get to worry about the competition clauses. They're all working together, like because they're not technically competing with each other anymore.
And they do good audio.
Yeah, and it made it so much easier just to like not even worry about that part. So they are like both my editors talk to each other about when they're releasing, right? Like so, it's yeah. great on that front.
That's and then, great. And then to murder you with
yeah, and then Orbit, and then Orbit came in from the UK side, which is also uh-huh. Hachette, and then they took the UK rights for the series as well. So, and then they're actually like. It'll all port over into the Bookature series. Like it's all like all one big thing now. So
that's good though.
That's great. That
yeah.
It's easier for things to look yeah. consistent and be able to come out in a way that you're not like, hey, I've got 9 months of nothing and then 2 months of hell and yeah. 1 month and I'm just in a coma. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, the next
you get
months
to keep the same. You're probably going to be very busy the next few months. That's yeah, why we're very thankful you're here. We're like, we got to get Nisha
the charts. Charts. Are we on the chart? No, we're not on the chart.
Will you get to keep the same publicist for the rom-com and for the fantasy stuff?
I would assume so. There's a small you team there so. That yeah. you know is who I'm getting to know quite well. And
yeah. I bet.
Yeah, no, they and to them they saw like the rom-coms will just work with the fantasy that like yeah. that's a lot of crossover audience and like
totally.
You know
it is
a rising tide lifts all boats, all that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So that there will be yeah, that'll be like a they'll bring it all together because they never wanted me to use a pen name. Mm-hmm. Like one of the other people who had offered on the rom-coms actually did want me to use a pen name, which
boom.
Was interesting, but they were kind of like,
just no. smiling. I'm yeah. just smiling.
Forever was like, no, we see you've got like an audience and it wasn't.
Yeah, no pen name for you. And I'm right, just thinking like, with the worst porny pen names that you could come up with. So don't go there, Allison. It's too early in the day to be.
Ninja Thule writing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Would Ninja Thule be the one who writes the fantasy? And
no,
Nisha?
Ninja writes ninja stories. Don't you think? I mean, like it's right there in the title. I can't think yeah. of any inappropriate.
Not sure that's my forte. Say, but
yeah.
It ended up going to auction, which was like the most stressful day of my life. When it was so like,
I was gonna say,
like throwing a party and not knowing if anyone's gonna show up, like it was so stressful. But like,
well, you knew what you at least had a few people showing
yeah.
up,
yeah. So that was well, because you,
but you just don't know how good the gifts are gonna be.
Well,
it's even like a bridal shower.
Because a couple of them,
it's all towels
because a couple of them had to drop out at the very last second because of the audio, we were like stressing. Because
we
had an offer from one publisher. She was like, yeah, it's coming. And then like the next morning was like, I got the pull like above me. And so like we were not like we were pretty sure there was offers coming, but because a couple of them were last, like we had calls, they were like, we love this, blah blah. And then it was like, oh, I got a no because of the audio. So like, so this is my advice to anybody. If you are an indie author and you have tried publishing in your sites, do not sell your audio. Like, don't sell it.
Don't do it.
Well, hang on to it just in case.
And we're hearing more and more stories of indies who are really doing well. And then here's the thing about traditional publishing that people don't want to admit, but everybody kind of knows. Traditional publishing is risk averse. So if they can see like, hey, there's dollar signs already over this book,
absolutely.
They're more likely to pick it up. up. So for indies who are not as successful, then it may not make a difference for you because they're not going to just
pick outright. But if you're starting to get approached by publishers, which is, you know, is starting to happen more and more because these like foreign publishers attention, they are seeing what's happening with, especially I can't speak outside of the romance genre because I don't really know, but they're paying attention. And if they start approaching you, you know that you've got something. So like,
because they're seeing all the money being left on the table by these indie authors who are like, so we give a little bit to Amazon or maybe some publishing like fees just for the actual book itself. And otherwise they're just stuffing their own pockets. With
the money. Absolutely. And that was part of the offer had to be big enough to quite frankly, make me stop self-publishing. Like I was
right. Because if you're making,
I was making all of my royalties. I was doing very well. And I was like, it has to be big enough because part for me is like, I wanted to be traditionally published from the beginning. Like that was how I went into this. And I want my book in the bookstores. Like they can do stuff that you can't do on your own, right? Yes. Like
this is Allison and I say that exact phrase all the time. We're like, so Allison and I met, feels like a million years ago now, because we were both published by the same small press. That small press ended up going belly up.
Badly.
And it was really bad before that. So we both at the very last minute had to like get out of our contracts and immediately self-publish.
Yeah. Like books that were already out and going, okay. And at the time I was agented and had the ability to have my agent help me extricate myself to make sure I wasn't losing things. Like, do I have rights to my cover? Well, my original cover was designed by Jennifer Ann Gordon. So I would like to be able to keep the rights to my cover, but if I've got to do whatever, and it was a crazy thing. But at the time my agent said, because this has been self-published or because this has already been published by a small publisher, no other publisher is going to want to pick it up. Therefore I'm not going to shop it. So I was told, and first in a series, I could either trash the series or go ahead and do it on my own. And I had another friend, it wasn't Jen, but another one from our same publisher who had already had to pull her book and republish it on her own. I'm like, she managed it. I'm just going to go ahead and do it because people are actively buying it and reading it. And I don't want to just walk away from it. Mm-hmm. But I was not, unlike you, who did all this research.
You did research. I know. I was so impressed.
No.
Allison and I, within like a weekend each, were just like, I guess I'm pulling my book. My lawyer finally got me out of my contract.
I don't know what's happening. And yeah, I mean, like, it's the whole idea of you can either dive into the ocean after learning how to swim, or you can be forced to walk the plank and you're drowning in it, sink or swim. And that's kind of how it was.
Yeah.
Like the fact, absolutely. Like the number one thing I tell people who are like, I don't know about indie publishing, is look into it and figure it all out and ask questions before, because so much of it is laying the groundwork and having all these things in place rather than just like, here's my book. Yeah.
And all the information's out there. It's all free. And it's all free if you go look for it. Yeah. If you all go look for it.
And, you know, and I always like to tell people now, because I feel like, you know, I learned the hard way. Allison learned the hard way. Lots of us did. Like, if you're signing with somebody or have the opportunity, use that to query, like use that to find an agent. Like my agent now is always like, because I knew her before, but she wasn't my agent. She's like, had you just called me, I would have gone over the contract with you. I would have told you no.
Yeah. Right. And that's why like trying to DIY contracts is not like, I learned so much from the process with having them take over my, and having like all the different contract things. Like I'm like, oh, the things I'm aware of now that I wasn't before.
Number one, that don't sell your audio.
There's that too. Yes. But even just like everything from the like separate accounting or the like, the competition clauses or the, which things you're giving away and which things you're keeping for yourself. And it was very eye opening, but it was crazy. And I still like am pinching myself that any of this has happened. Like it's just wild to me, but
it's been probably a whirlwind.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy.
I was gonna say, I loved your book and I feel like you're in this, I want to say, is this romanticy? And if it isn't, tell me what romanticy needs to have. Like, is there a definition of what romanticy is? And does Heart of Night and Fire fit it?
Yes.
Making sure, I even put in one of my posts, I'm like, I think it's romanticy. Nisha will tell us otherwise.
To me, romanticy is different than other types of romance because the romance is not the central plot.
Okay.
Right? Like, there's still the fantasy plot.
Mm-hmm.
which Heart and Iron Fire really has, as you write.
Yes.
And then, but the relationship is like kind of integrated into it. Like with a rom-com or contemporary romance, like it's really about the romance, right? It's about the relationship.
Right.
That's the front and center thing while some other stuff happens behind it. Versus romanticy to me is sort of both things happening together, and you can't really have one without the other. And that like fantasy romance or romanticy or whatever we're calling it these days is sort of like, it's still fantasy, but like it has to, but the romance is integral to it.
Yeah.
In my point. Right. Like, and it doesn't, and it doesn't have the rules. Like the first book doesn't have to be a happy ending. And right. Like if the series will have to be, but the first book often isn't, or the second or third, but the series is, but
especially with fantasy. I mean, yes, there are standalone fantasies, but so often,
but fantasies are,
they tend to be worlds
sweeping. Yeah.
Versus like contemporary romance tends to be standalones for the most part, right? So like it's...
And if it is in a series with similar characters,
it's like
each one has to have...
They're like individualized.
And you can just swap out which characters in it, but it's still each one has to provide that happily ever after in that little box.
And I mean, some will argue there's like a difference between romantic fantasy versus fantasy romance. I don't know. To me, that's splitting hairs. Like, I don't really know where we're...
Let's not fight amongst ourselves, people. No. It's just...
But I mean, it is because one of those things is that that genre is taking off in of itself, that there are new imprints looking for just that. And I've seen certain agents going, I'm specifically looking for that because that's where the demand is. And I know people are like, well, I write fantasy and there's a little bit of romance, but I don't think it qualifies as romanticy. So some people really are looking.
Well,
really,
and there's that too, like any genre can have like a romance, a romance in it, right? Just because like somebody has a relationship doesn't make it a romance, right? Like,
right. I feel like, most stories, no matter what they are, have kind of like an element of a love story.
There's like somebody, probably somebody
has loved something,
right? Yeah, has loved someone or is some relation. Yeah, like that doesn't make it a romance. A romance.
I'm reading a book right now that's a horror, and the love story is with the uncle. And I don't mean that in a gross way. I really don't. I mean, a girl cares about her uncle and is trying to prevent bad things from happening.
I get it. I want to write a love story about my dog, and it wouldn't be. It wouldn't
that
be gross.
Be weird.
No. I mean, it depends on what kind of love story you're writing.
Not that
kind. We're not getting into bestiality. There is no agent currently with
No.
Yeah, but an uncle plot could be in a dark romance book. I'm just telling you.
I know. I'm like, I've read some dark books.
I've read some crazy things.
Look, we all grew up on V.C. Andrews.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and so one of the things I wanted to ask
you about your books
is, so they are South Asian inspired, and you're Canadian, but you come from that background. So.
Yeah, I'm Canadian by birth. Yes, but,
by birth.
But like,
where in Canada are you?
I'm in Winnipeg in Manitoba, right?
Oh my gosh,
Manitoba the breadbasket one?
That's over there.
Ooh, I'm right in the middle. I'm like right above North Dakota and Minnesota.
Okay, so are you in the farming area of Canada? Because they neglected
not as far. You're, like that's Canada. We're part of the prairies. But,
okay, prairies.
Yeah.
All right,
we're like the far end of the prairies. Yeah,
but I've never been to like central Canada.
I've never been to any.
I'm just like coast and coast. Just like Vancouver. Coast, yeah. Montreal, Quebec, Halifax, St. John, Toronto, but nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing in the middle.
It's like you're as big as we are, and I know so little about it. But your books are not inspired by Canadian lore.
No, so I mean, this book has South Asian world building. My other ones do not. This is the first series that does. My main characters are always brown girls, though. That's my thing, because why not? Why can't they be?
Because they should.
Yeah, why not?
As they should be.
This one is the first one where I really like, put that this much into it. I don't know. I guess like when I first started writing it, it was there really was not very much. Like this was like the time when, you know, Black Lives Matter was happening and publishing was suddenly like noticing that it was
very white,
right? And like I had started writing that book and I wrote it with a white girl. I suddenly was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? Because this is all I've read, right? Like this is every book that I've read. And I read the Devabad trilogy. And that was when I was like, wait a minute, I could do this.
Like she could look like me.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that's not the same region, but like the same idea, right? And I was like, wait a minute, I could like, so I went like down a rabbit hole of like researching Hindu and South Asian mythology, which was sort of like cathartic for me in a way too, because like I grew up in Canada. I'm not surrounded by this stuff, right? And we didn't have a lot of family around. Like we were the only people where we lived. I grew up in Calgary actually, and mm-hmm. which is my parents still are. And I don't know. To me, it was sort of like a little bit of a finding myself and learning about all these things I didn't know. And then I just sort of like gathered all of it up and I was like, okay, so now like, how do I like use all of this to write the kind of book that I love to read, which was, you know, like the Sarah J. Maas's and Jennifer. Yeah. How do I make that same feeling?
Action.
Yeah. Like I want that same feeling. I want this, the smut. I want the tropes. I want all of that, but I want it to look different. Right. So that was.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to have better food.
Yes.
And outfits and colorful and amazing.
As far as the colorful and amazing, I'm like, so as a fan request, I want you to find your fan artist people to make like an illustrated version of this, at least for all the creatures. Cause I want to be like, show me what this looks like. Show me what that looks like. I want to see what's in that.
I mean, you're assuming that I know really. Cause
no.
I want to see what Vikram does, right? Really looks like.
Oh, he's hot.
I mean, I know he's really hot.
Like, what
I'm like, I know that fictional creature, man. They're all hot.
I was saying this to somebody. I was like, so when I was like reading through the mythology, I'm like, which creature could I take and like, hotify it mm-hmm. basically. Yeah, the very intellectual highbrow,
as you do,
you know, what can I make hot? So then yeah, that was when I was like
besides werewolves, because they're like overdone. Yeah.
well, and I wanted it to still align with some kind of like Hindu creature, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say there was no werewolf in there.
No, there's no wolves in there, but the Rakshasa kind of stood out to me as sort of blood drinking. I'm like, oh, vampires are hot, right? Like,
so and I that love kind that of... before, like she's already, before she's even met them, she's already like, ooh, they're hot. Do you really?
She's reading the romance books.
I feel like my favorite part was her just talking about, she's like, so your teeth, what else do you do with the teeth? And I'm like, I have never felt more seen in my life.
So she actually asked these things and they're like,
okay.
They're like, we know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, she hasn't had a lot of conversations. She's a little socially awkward. She has to.
Well, she's basically been brought up by her captors / sort of family.
Sort of dad, sort of brother, sort of.
Her forced father brother.
Yeah, weird relationship.
That feels kind of BC Andrews, too. Anyway, go on.
It could have been, but I wasn't going.
But you went a different way.
That could have been a story too, but I did not go that way.
Eventually, there will probably be fan fiction written about that, just so you know that you're going to go.
Told me who she was shipping.
I would like to read that if somebody wants to send that to me.
I shipped two people that are not together in any way in your book, but I did ship them, and I will tell you after we're not live.
Okay, because I'm curious to know. All right.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised you went there.
You're surprised that I went there?
No, I'm not surprised you went there. I'm like, no, that's a valid pairing. That's all.
Yeah.
In my head, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate that you were like, okay, which of these things that are real in mythology can I make hot enough that my lead girl is like ruling over
hot, yeah. Because like, and so, I love a good monster romance, but that's not what I was doing here. So that was
not monstrous. Yeah. And I feel like the way you also included the different practitioners of magic, you wove magic in so seamlessly that it was like, this is just part of their culture in ways like, yes, there are fairies and some of them are doing some inappropriate things, little fairies over there. And then others like, oh, these guys drink blood and these people have these different kinds of magic and these people have these kinds of magic. But I'm like, seriously, I'm not as good visually that I'm like, can someone draw some of these things for me?
Yeah, I would love like an encyclopedia with like
just the creatures.
Just the creatures and like this is what their eyes look like. This is what their teeth do. This is what this is. This is what their teeth do. And then there's like 5 pages of porn. And then it goes back to
it. Honestly, considering how big Nisha is on things like Book Talk, I'm sure if we go over to some of the fan sites, it's probably already over there. We just have to like go to the most explicit filter and find it. And there's probably somebody with an animated GIF of it already. So
yes. All right. Well, now I know what I'm doing this afternoon.
Googling that.
This is a family show. Mm.
This is not a family show, Nisha.
Not a family show. No. Like my children know I have this, but they are not allowed to watch.
Yeah, no.
My little dude's like, you're my favorite YouTuber. I'm like, you just say that because normally you say
I know, no. That's what my little guy was. He was like, you're my favorite author, Mom. I'm like, okay, just stop. Go and read your Dog Man. And
mine too. Read your Dog Man and for whom the bell tolls or all the Dog Man titles.
I know, I love the titles. For whom the ball rolls.
For whom the ball rolls. That's right. That's right.
That is so stinking cute.
I love all the titles. They're all
They're like, hey, my child is reading. Just take it. I'll take it. Yeah.
So before we end, Nisha, what book is coming out next and when? It's like next week and it's a trilogy?
I'm starting a new trilogy tomorrow.
No, God. I've been saying to people, I'm like, nobody let me write two long series at the same time ever again. This is just like a lot.
This was a learning experience.
You're waiting and then it all happens at once. And I'm like, oh, okay. But anyways, it'll be fine. I will be better prepared in the future.
You have a chart now.
I have my chart. The next book is the second book of Heart, Night, and Fire, which will come out in February.
Okay.
And then the next one will be actually in June, which will be the third book of the other series.
Is that the Trial of the Sun Queen series?
That's the Trial of the Sun Queen series.
So are two of those already out?
Two of those are already out, yeah. Okay. Both series will be done by the end of next year.
Wow.
That's like the worst of both worlds.
The speed with which Forever has turned this around was astonishing to me, because you always hear, you're like, you sign a contract and it takes 2 years for books to get into print. Like, not if they don't want to, apparently. So
they can speed it up if they're like, they look, can be we've faster got if they
want to. Yeah. So like,
well, and I feel like especially with romanticy, because it's hot, they recognize
this is hot right now. We don't want to have a break in between. We want to keep even when we switched the ebooks over, like they just like one day we decided I would unpublish and they would like take right. Like it was like from one day to the next. Dang. So there was no break in between.
That's amazing.
And then like I unpublished the paperbacks and there's still a few selling because I think, you know, Amazon prints them and they don't.
Yeah.
They just keep them. So those are still doing, but then like the paperbacks are almost, there was a bit of a delay. They were supposed to, they redid them in like gold foil and all this pretty stuff, which I can't wait to see. But they were supposed to come last week, but there was a bit of a delay. So my editor actually just sent me an email with a image of a video of it on. So I guess they found, they've got,
so they exist.
So they exist. And then the UK ones, like I already have they already sent me my proofs. Like it's coming out in October and they've already sent me my box of two big boxes of books. So like they have been like moving heaven and earth to get these. And then,
yeah. They understand.
And then the third book got delayed for so many reasons because like being realistic. So like I was a bit worried about that, but people have been very understanding. And I was just like, I'm sorry, you're just gonna have to wait a little bit longer.
But you're not gonna have to wait as long as you normally would.
Right. Because they're doing the fourth book, like right, like the third book will be June and the fourth book will be November. Like there's really the overall timeline really wasn't that different than what I was planning anyways, right? So it's fine in the long run. So that part is good. Yeah, they've been moving like crazy. So yeah, all of them will be done by the end of next year. And then
you're going to sleep for a year.
Then she takes 1 year off.
I still have two rom-coms I got to write too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but my rom-coms don't take as long as...
Yeah, they're a bit shorter and we're not writing a series. I have to say, like, I'm working on the fourth book for my Trial of the Sun Queen series. And like, each book has progressively gotten harder to write because you've got a lot of things going on. Yeah, and you have to keep everything together, and it's like,
and you have to end it.
Well, and you have to end it, and you got to keep the tension up, right? Like because the relationship has sort of resolved itself in some ways, but not, you know, like I don't want to give too much away, but
we get it, it's resolving itself,
but you don't have that initial tension that you do in at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So like it's just trying to keep all that stuff developed and you have to stick the landing. And so you have to keep throwing crap at them and like I'm careening to the ending. I think I know how it's ending, but I'm just like, I'm not 100% sure how we're getting there yet, but I'm pretty sure. I want to have book four written before book three goes to print, just to make sure I didn't mess anything up in terms of like continuity. So,
I need to quit changing in three, because once it hits print, you can't go like, oh, just kidding.
Oh, just wait a minute.
Just kidding. That was a dream.
Or I'm going to have to come up with something very clever in the next one.
They were twins. Yeah,
they were triplets.
Did you not know? I know. And then she woke up. And she was in Dallas the whole time.
The number of one-star reviews I would get for that. Oh my God.
I know. It was all
and you would have already had all your money. So you'd be like, Tabitha.
You're like, all right, I'm writing the next thing. See you.
And you're like, remember when I said I didn't want a pen name? I'll take one now. Bye.
To start a new series in Pebble. I don't know what you're about. This woman looks a lot like that Nisha lady did. Yeah. Oh, I wonder what. I like that.
Oh my gosh. Nisha, if you have any time or you're still awake, you're going to have to come back when the next book comes out.
For sure.
You have been a joy to talk to.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time out of your chart.
Out of my chart.
Do you have a date yet for NSFW, the one that is not a horror?
At the moment, they've just said summer 2025. So
okay, so you have a little
which is actually
2023 now.
Right, which is actually a relief because even my editor's like, we're not even going to look at edits for that until 2024. And I'm kind of like, oh, thank God, mm-hmm. because like I can't fit anything else in. Right?
Plus your brain is in like two different complete universes. Yeah.
Well, and it's just like, I can't fit another book in.
I didn't know that Trial of the Sun Queen isn't South Asian inspired, meaning it's definitely a different universe. I wasn't sure if these were like shared universe, but different stories. So you have like two different full fantasy universes going
on. I'm exhausted.
And then romance going on, which I'm assuming is contemporary.
Yeah, they're contemporary. So a little simpler.
They can't go on vacation to like one of your other accidental universes. Like,
wouldn't that
because. I'm like, so I write horror and I try to set everything in like the same universe, which is kind of like my universe, even though none of the books are connected. Like I had like Dagger Island.
Yeah.
And then like, even in a book that doesn't take place there, I had like a throw off line of like that weekend I spent at an Airbnb at Dagger Island. So I'm like, see, it's the same universe.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I said no one ever. And I think I even put it into like my book that's out on sub that makes no, like it's just.
They're like, what is this random reference?
What is this random reference?
Well, it's
that will definitely be cut and copy edits.
Your readers will know.
There'll be people who know, because I mean, even in one of my books, I had one of my characters reading one of her books going, don't drink the tea, never drink the tea. And like my friends who have read her books are like, I get it. They're reading just
and I was like screaming when I read it. You shouldn't read, don't drink the tea.
I feel like the worlds could converge though, because you know like how fantasy worlds are like this island in the middle of the water and right? Like you don't like who knows what's beyond
Narnia,
them. Like,
and then over here is
could connect if, like
Narnia, Middle Earth,
Gilligan's
Island. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I do have an idea for a spinoff for the Sun Queen series, but we'll see if I'm allowed to write it or not. It's like what happens with that. But
or if you have any, like if you're able to, if you haven't worn your fingers,
fingers to the bone, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Or it's just like eventually you'll just have to hire somebody.
Well, I'm trying. I want to get better at dictating. Because I feel like that could really be, and I was, Katie Robert was posting on Twitter about how she does, that's what she does. Cause she has like really bad hand problems.
That's when your fingers turn into this.
Yeah.
And then hot dog fingers.
And then she pays someone to transcribe it and like clean it up for her because it's so like messy. And I was like, that is brilliant. Like,
I've had a million jobs in my life. And one of them, after I was no longer working as an attorney, but before I was like doing anything else full time, I've done dictation work. And it's great because if you have someone who can do that. And
yeah, because that's my issue. Like, it's such a mess afterwards that I'm like, I may as well just type this out, right? Mm-hmm. If someone can like clean it up a little bit. Like, because for me, drafting is the hardest part for me. I do 90% of my writing and editing. Like I just bang out a crappy, horrible
vomit
of a draft.
This is why our show is called Vox.
I'm a pantser. I don't plan anything ahead, right? Like it just
you
like,
are our people, Nisha. You are
mess,
people.
So like
I feel like every time I cheer when somebody's like, I'm a pantser, I'm like, yes. I feel like my agent somewhere is
mad at you.
She's like, no, you said you were gonna outline.
I lied.
If you want me to outline, I will write a worse book. I promise you that. If anyone wants to try and make me write or there will be no book because I'll just stare at the screen and feel nothing.
Yep, and I've been
feel nothing.
New outline.
Yeah. I'm dead inside.
It is. I've tried. I've tried to plot, and it's so boring.
Here's the trick. Don't tell anybody. You write the book, and then you pull the outline.
Right.
From the book.
Totally.
And
absolutely.
You just sort of show them the book.
No,
or you just write a nonsense outline, and honestly, they're gonna forget anyway.
I know. Totally. The worst is when they're like, we need like synopses of the other books. And I'm like, oh God.
You're like, how would I know what those are about?
Do you know what's going to happen? I don't know what's going
to happen. They haven't done it yet. How am I supposed to write?
I know. Exactly. I'll make something happen.
Remember, an outline is not legally binding, and I'm a lawyer. I should know.
That's true. An outline.
Oh my God, that's great.
I like
great
to think of my my first drafts as super detailed outlines. That's what I'm doing when I draw.
That's it.
Right? It's just a super detailed outline.
You're doing this skeleton. Like,
sure. My outline is 180 Microsoft Word pages, but it is still
just a really detailed outline.
It's not just very detailed.
With details that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
With things that you're going to have to cut later. That's fine.
My dogs are going crazy right now.
Okay. Well, and we've gone for almost an hour, so we should really wrap this up. And normally Jennifer wraps us up, but I'm going to wrap us up this time because the author we have on next week is Jennifer, talking about the Japanese box. And it would be weird for her to introduce like her own book. So
next, next week, listen to me.
I know. It will be the two of us, and it's like it's a Vox Vomitus episode, but more like To the Moon Allison because I'm doing the interviewing. And pretending
oh my gosh, we could just
Vox Vomitus.
To the Vox Vomitus, Allison.
I'm always in both of them, so I don't think that really works.
I'm sorry, but I'm like already getting like itchy. Like, oh God, I wonder what you're going to ask me.
Oh, your own book, you crazy person. Misha, you are amazing. Congratulations again.
Congratulations on the world.
Giving indie authors and people who are sitting there in the trad slog hope because it can be done. And it's just, we're excited to see what else comes out. And everybody, there's a bunch of books out and more coming. So go look for Trial of the Sun Queen and Heart of Night and Fire. And there's going to be a rom-com eventually. And your daughter's going to be old enough to read that by the time it comes out. So maybe. Be aware.
Maybe
not. You're like, this is still not for
she
you.
She can do it quietly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't, maybe don't tell her.
Nisha, you are the best.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was also fun. And we'll pencil you in for someplace on your graph in February.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Bye.